My defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your
soul. Wish I was 50 years younger, and I'd kick your ass.
I'm the best ever.
You don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that?
Greetings, fight fans, to another edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. This is a number 9 edition. 9 times we have done this show on a weekly basis here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today on this weekly edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. And with further ado, let's get started with the hooks and jabs, what we like to call our weekly news. After his inflammatory remarks regarding homosexuals, Nike has dropped Manny Pacquiao from his roster. Nike stated, Nike strongly opposes discrimination of any kind and has a long history of supporting and standing up for the rights of the LGBT community. The shoe company removed any mention of the boxer from their website. Other fans and celebrities of like have gone on their Twitter feeds or other social media to express their disappointment in the comments that Manny Pacquiao made about a week ago, including Magic Johnson, a big-time boxing fan, who stated that he would never, ever go to another Manny Pacquiao fight again. And that is on the verge of Manny Pacquiao's next fight on April 9th against Timothy Bradley, which is considered his last fight, but many believe it won't be. But with this, it might be. But I want to go a little bit on a rant. You know, whether we are fans of Manny Pacquiao now or we were in the past, you know, the guy is a pretty, even if he's not retired, he's pretty iconic. I mean, the guy has been going on for, you know, over 10 years and was considered last decade's boxer of the decade of the last 10 years. So the guy has done a lot for the sport. He's brought somewhat the sport to the forefront. And a guy that I've always compared Manny Pacquiao to has been Muhammad Ali. Obviously, Muhammad Ali is considered the greatest of all time, even if his record doesn't show it, but just because of his social standing of what Muhammad Ali, also known as Cassius Clay, means in the history books, not along the boxing history, but in the history books in general, with his protest that he did in the late 60s where he refused to go to Vietnam and fight against the Viet Cong, and because of that he was suspended and he lost his title and had to fight in the courts to get back. You know, I've always kind of compared Manny Pacquiao as this generation's version of Muhammad Ali, because I think that Manny Pacquiao, like Muhammad Ali, is recognized all over the world as somewhat of a goodwill ambassador. I mean, Muhammad Ali as well as Manny Pacquiao have helped dozens of people that we don't even know about. They helped them throughout the world, and Manny Pacquiao, especially in his home country of the Philippines, where when there has been a natural disaster or any other kind of tragedy, Manny Pacquiao has been there helping. And Muhammad Ali, to a certain extent, also did that. But this kind of separates the two, because when Muhammad Ali was fighting and protesting back in the late 60s is when, because African Americans at that time, as you all well know, were fighting for equal rights, and they were part of the oppressed group, and Muhammad Ali was part of that oppressed group. But here in this case, Manny Pacquiao is part of the oppressor. You know, he's part of the segment of the population that does not agree with the lifestyle of the LGBT community and gay marriage and all that. And whether you are on one side or the other on that issue, you know, Manny Pacquiao is on the wrong side of history on this one, and he's going to hurt from it. I don't know if it's going to hurt his legacy, but a lot of people are not seeing him as that goodwill ambassador, that guy with always that smile on his face. And even though Muhammad Ali and Manny Pacquiao were both working or were both, going and following their faith, Muhammad Ali being a member of the Nation of Islam or a Muslim, and Manny Pacquiao following his Catholic faith, I think this is where it gets separated between the two. And unfortunately, whether you like Manny Pacquiao or not, inside or outside the ring, I think this might hurt his legacy in the long run, where we won't be able to forget this to a certain extent, and we'll see where it leads to. But as of right now, his fans are protesting Nike, burning Nike shoes and Nike merchandise, where Manny Pacquiao is kind of going back to his faith and asking his fans not to burn, but to actually pray for the company. So we'll see where it leads and how it affects his next fight on April 9th against Timothy Bradley in the pay-per-view buys. In a press release on Monday afternoon, it was announced that Keith Thurman versus Sean Porter WBA welterweight title fight scheduled for March 12th on primetime CBS was postponed due to injuries suffered by the champion Thurman in a car accident. According to his doctors, his injuries are not considered serious, and he is expected to return to training in the upcoming weeks. This fight and the network broadcast will now be rescheduled for a later date, while Bela Entertainment, who was the promoter on record, even though we all know that it's part of the Premier Boxing Champion Series led by Al Haymon, the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut, and Showtime are now debating whether to continue with the fight card, which included the featherweight bout between Abner Mares and Fernando Montiel in the semi-main event. As far as the Porters, they state they want proof of the injuries sustained by Thurman, and according to a Steve Kim report on BoxingScene.com, the Porters were on their way to Big Bear to continue their camp when they received the news. So we'll see what happens. In that report by Steve Kim, Ken Porter, Sean Porter's father, trainer, and manager, or co-manager, along with Al Haymon, stated that they might want to get on that March 12th date and see if they could get another opponent. I think it might be a little bit too late at this juncture, being that it's about 3 weeks away. But we'll see if they could pull that together. Let's see what this what happens in the next coming days as far as that proof that they're asking for. And it was announced by Top Rank that they have let go of five fighters. They're cutting their stable a little bit by five. Those five fighters were lightweight Diego Magdaleno, who lost his last fight against Terry Flanagan in October of last year by knockout in the second round. Featherweight Chris Avalos, who's lost two of his last three. Lightweight Ivan Najera, who lost his last two. Lightweight Gamaliel Rodriguez of Puerto Rico, who lost his last two fights. And junior featherweight Vic Pasillas. I don't know who Vic Pasillas is. Anybody ever heard of Vic Pasillas? They didn't even give a reason why they were dropping him. But anyways, you get to a certain point with certain careers and you feel you can't do much more with them, and that you can't take their careers any further, is what Top Rank Vice President Carl Moretti told ESPN.com. That doesn't mean we wouldn't use these guys again, but now they have the opportunity to go someplace else and see what they can do. Very optimistic words from Carl Moretti, thinking that these guys can go somewhere else when Top Rank has dropped them. And obviously, when he says that he could use these guys again, he's probably thinking as opponent to, obviously, the bigger names at Top Rank. So we'll see where it leads. As far as Diego Magdaleno, his brother Jesse Magdaleno continues with Top Rank. This last Friday, it was made official newly crowned WBC super featherweight champion Francisco El Bandido Vargas will be defending his title against veteran Orlando Salido. Vargas won the title by stopping Takashi Miura last November in the fight of the year on the undercard of Canelo versus Cotto. And the fight is slated for June 4th at the StubHub Center in Carson, California. Looks like the event will be promoted by Golden Boy Promotions in association with Top Rank and broadcast by HBO. Looks like to be a barn burner June 4th. I'm probably going to head out there and check it out. Looks like the undercard of Canelo Khan is taking shape with Luis Ortiz, the heavyweight, who is scheduled to face veteran Tony Thompson on March 5th, making a quick turnaround and perhaps fighting on May 7th if everything goes according to plan. Looks like Lucas Matiz versus Mauricio Herrera has some life left, since Oscar De La Hoya said to ESPN.com that Golden Boy Promotions is really close to putting it together in the welterweight division. So after it was announced that the talks had deteriorated between Matisse and Mauricio Herrera, with Matisse perhaps facing Pablo Cesar Cano and Herrera looking for a Ruslan Provodnikov rematch. It looks like they pumped some life back into that fight, which is a great matchup. On paper, the fight of the night between Lucas Matisse and Mauricio Herrera. So hopefully Golden Boy Promotions can get that done. And also featured on the card, but maybe not on pay-per-view, will be De La Hoya's nephew, Diego De La Hoya. So that is the news for this edition of In the Square Circle. So now we move on to the next section, which is decisions, decisions, decisions.
Veremos quién es el más macho.
From Argentina, former champ Omar Narváez captured the vacant IBF Latino Bantamweight title by forcing Jesus Vargas to not come out for the eighth round of a scheduled 10 on Friday night. Also on Friday night from the Velasco Theater in Los Angeles, the aforementioned Diego De La Hoya stopped veteran Arturo Fuerte Badillo of Tijuana with a vicious left hook to the body in the fourth round. And in the semi-main event broadcast by Estrella TV, super featherweight Carlos Molina took a ho-hum unanimous decision over Omar Tienda in a 10-rounder. I was lucky enough to be in the house at the Velasco Theater in downtown Los Angeles. I had never been to that venue. Actually, quite nice. The Velasco Theater, small, small venue, but very, very nice. The whole setup that is, it felt very comfortable, and I kind of enjoyed it. And I hope to get back there to the Velasco Theater in downtown Los Angeles, a couple blocks away from the Staples Center. And on CBS Sports Network, newly signed super welterweight John Vera remained undefeated in 13 fights by stopping I.E. Bruce in the third, while lightweight Tony Luis earned the 8th round unanimous decision over Samuel Amuaco. And the fight night was presented by Coin Promotions alongside Roy Jones Jr. Boxing Promotions. On Showbox, also on Friday night, Adam Lopez defended his WBA Federlandin Bantamweight title with the unanimous decision over Mario Munoz. And in an 8-rounder super middleweight slugfest, Ronald Flatline Ellis fought Jerry Odom to a majority draw. On Saturday night in Germany, Felix Sturm defended his WBA super middleweight title against Fedor Shudinov with a majority decision. Looks like some controversy is regarding the gloves. Both used Grant gloves, but it's suspected there was something going on with Shudinov's gloves as a sticker with the trademark fell off, and it looked like they were painted on some kind of painted or with some kind of substance was put on them. Investigation continues. Well, it looks like there's something going on there with the gloves. So, you know, we don't want to jump to any conclusions, but it's a matter that is being investigated as we speak. In Monterrey, Mexico, and broadcast in Mexico by the Azteca Channel and in the U.S. by beIN Sports, in Espanol, former champion Francisco Chivas Rodriguez Jr. scored a unanimous decision over Ramon El Príncipe García, while on Televisa, former flyweight, WBC champion Pedro Guevara got back in the win column with the unanimous decision over Filipino Jader Oliva, while his brother Alberto Guevara scored a majority decision over Edwin Mancito, also of the Philippines. On that card as well, former champ Ava Knight came back to fight Jacet Noriega to a draw in a 6-rounder. And finally, in Phoenix, Jesse Magdaleno, the younger brother of Diego Magdaleno, scored a 7th-round TKO over late sub Ray Perez on Unimas. Like you all know, friends and foes, this is In the Square Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less boxing recap of last week. We have already have gone through in less than 15 minutes the latest and greatest news of the last week and also all the fight results. So the only thing left is the upcoming calendar. We're probably going to clock this in less than 20 minutes. So without further ado, we go to the upcoming calendar.
I'm real champion.
From the Manchester Arena in Manchester, England, the much-anticipated unification fight between IBF world champion Carl Frampton and WBA super bantamweight champion Scott Quigg goes down on Saturday, February 27th. You can catch the replay on Showtime in the evening, but I believe live it will be around 2:30 Pacific time on Showtime. And on Showtime as well that night, where you will be able to catch the replay of the Scott Quigg, Carl Frampton fight. We're going to catch WBA featherweight champion Leo Santa Cruz defend his title against former 122 champion Kiko Martinez, while the rematch between super bantamweight champion Julio Pollito Ceja goes against Hugo Cuatito Ruiz. Predictions, quick predictions. I think Carl Frampton is going to take the fight in a close fight over there in Manchester Arena. I think he's a little bit flawed, but I think he has enough to beat Scott Quigg. In the Leo Santa Cruz, that was going to be a late stoppage against Kiko Martinez. Leo Santa Cruz is going to be just too much for the smaller Kiko Martinez. And in the rematch, I see the world champion Julio El Pollito Ceja retaining his title, this time by a decision against Hugo Cuatito Ruiz. And lastly, on HBO from the Madison Square Garden, the mecca of boxing in New York City, WBO 140-pound champion Terence Crawford defends his title against Hank Lundy, while Felix Verdejo will face fellow undefeated William Silva for his WBC Latino lightweight title. When I mean Verdejo. Verdejo is going to stop William Silva after half of the fight, maybe in between the fifth and the seventh round, whereas Terence Crawford, I think he's going to take a decision against Hank Lundy, but I could also see a late stoppage. Well, fight fans, that is all the sections for In the Squared Circle this week. We gave you all the hooks and jabs, which is our new section. We give you all the quick fight results, and we gave you the upcoming calendar. So in a quick 17 minutes, you have all you need to know about the last week in boxing and as well as the upcoming fight schedule. So with that said, we thank you here are In the Squared Circle with Felipe León for listening to us here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at SDFights on Twitter or my email, F as in Frank, L-E-O-N, that's fleon@live.com. Or you could get with my boss, David Duenas, on leaveitinthering@gmail.com. Don't forget that on Monday nights, you could catch the next round with Steve Kibb and Gabriel Montoya on the Leave It in the Ring Network, which you could download from either iTunes or the podcast app on the iPhone or Google Play on any Android device. On Monday nights, in the next round, with Steve Kibb and Gabriel Montoya, I believe it's 4 p.m. Pacific time. Then on Tuesday nights on the Leave It in the Ring Network, you have this show, In the Squared Circle, at noon. And on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, you have the flagship show of the network, Leave It in the Ring, with host David Duenas and co-host Gabriel Montoya, and then a revolving cast of lunatics, including myself. Every third Wednesday, you got Brian Fogg, and you got Lenny the Fightsmith. And then also, Lenny the Fightsmith has his own show, if you didn't catch his debut show with Lou DiBella. It's a must listen. It's a must listen of 2016. It's like fight of the year. This is a must listen for 2016. Lenny the Fightsmith on his show, The Technical Draw with Lou DiBella. You could download it on the feed of Leave It in the Ring Network. That's that just happened about last week. And then I'm sure that Lenny the Fightsmith is working on his next show, The Technical Draw. Doesn't have a set day of the week, but it's kind of like whenever he gets a good host and goes against them in The Technical Draw, the name of the show. And then on Friday nights, we have the basketball show. I'm not 100% sure what it's called. I don't follow basketball. But next time I will have that name of the show. I'm sorry. And then that's it for this edition of In the Squared Circle number 9. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got the news. Hope you got everything you needed from it. And with that said, I bid you adieu. Yeah, just forget the wins. It's the best to use. Won't you follow me into the jungle? There ain't no gun.
in the backstreet battles in the neon nights.
Park your preconceptions of the electric car. Explore the cars that are redefining the future of driving. From the innovative BMW i3 to the pioneering BMW i8 sports car. To test drive the range, visit the BMW Become Electric event between the 25th and 28th of February. Find your nearest BMW iAgent at bmw.co.uk/become electric. Test drive subject to status and availability.